May 1944. A scattered column of unreliable American M4 tanks is crawling through Pennsylvania as all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. They're ambushed and come turret to turret with a new German superweapon. It's as big as a city and is practically indestructible.
The German tanks, they look right and they are right. And boy, are they sexy.
The Americans, stunned by the scale of this attack, panic and scatter as they realize they have insufficient hard attack to penetrate the superior German armor.
The thing was the size of the Hindenburg and just as indestructible. It didn't matter what we threw at it, it just kept coming.
Recreated for the first time using our cutting-edge, high-quality computer graphic simulations to experience what it was really like, it becomes the greatest tank battle the world has ever seen. Now known everywhere as Gettysburg 2. It's May 1944, and American forces are about to come face to face with a revolutionary new kind of warfare. But how did the Germans leap so far ahead?
Of course, as everybody knows, the Germans invent the tank in the mid-1930s. They call it the Squirrel or the Panzer I. Someone asked me at one point, you know, Panzer I? Well, yes, it's the very first tank, hence Panzer I.
The Germans used their early tanks to crush Europe, starting with France in 1937. With the fall of the British Empire in 1940, the Germans take control of Canada, the perfect staging post for their most ambitious attack yet, the United States of America.
Because here in Britain, we didn't do any research or development of tanks in the 1 year we were engaged in the war, that means there are simply no tanks here. And for myself, that's a real shame because I would have loved to have been the curator or put together a museum of British tanks, but they just aren't there. So I've had to become a bit of a nerd and expert in German tanks.
The Germans move millions of men over on 25 convoy ships, and war is declared. The German blitzkrieg makes it all the way down to Pennsylvania before they come face to face with poorly equipped US forces. The Americans send forward their best tanks, the M4 Sherman, in an ill-fated effort to stop the unrelenting German onslaught.
Well, the cavalry recon company assigned to our division told us the Germans were coming, but we already knew that because the ground was shaking. We all jumped in our M4 Shermans and loaded the autocannons.
The M4 Sherman, a hideously unreliable and expensive to produce tank, its designers put all effort and focus into the armor at the expense of mobility, cost, and reliability. Its quad 20mm guns were insufficient against most armored targets, but were suitable for anti-aircraft warfare.
The president said that any upcoming war would be won in the air by the bomber. So, we designed our tanks as anti-aircraft emplacements.
The M4s move to their positions, but begin to suffer losses due to breakdown. The force stops to resupply, and for the president to finally assign their division to an army.
God damn it, we need to repair these goddamn tanks! Call me back! It was our expansionist posturing that started this goddamn war. But by God, we're gonna finish it. Destroying the German people.
What in the hell is that?
My God.
The Germans have just unveiled their new wonder weapon. One they've spent years researching and developing in a particular place in Germany, the P-1000 Landcruiser Rat.
By 1944, the Germans have come up with the P-1000, the Ratter tank, and this is hugely successful on the battlefield. You only have to look at images of the scale of this vehicle, the armament it carries. This is a vehicle that looks the part. And as so often with mechanical items, if they look right, they tend to be right. And boy, this is a vehicle that really, really looks the part, if you know what I mean. Ratter, as part of its design, not only has the usual things a tank of this scale would carry, it's got a gymnasium, a hospital area, but it also, for the benefit and the comfort of the German crews, it's also got a beer keller. And that's where, at the end of a hard day massacring the Americans, they could pop down and have a stein of ale, or of course back then it would have been Pilsner that they would have been drinking, and relaxed in the way that the Germans do.
Weighing in at 1,000 tons, the Rat is an unstoppable city of German destruction. Impervious to damage with 360 millimeters of armor, and when armed with dual 280 millimeter guns, no target on Earth is safe.
P-1000? What's that stand for? Well, the P is Panzer 1000, and the Germans estimate that basically the Ratter, or the P-1000, is 1,000 times better than that earlier Panzer 1. Some, of course, interpreted it as you see this vehicle, you pee yourself 1,000 times.
We thought it was nighttime, but it was just that super tank blocking out the sun. We tried shooting at it, but it just kept on coming.
The Ratter is very famous for its involvement of the defeat of the United States. It crosses the Atlantic, which, when you think it's got a turret that comes from the German battlecruiser Gneisenau, seems very appropriate. It goes right across the Atlantic, and it takes part in that second Battle of Gettysburg, which completely, just by its sheer scale, it can run over those unreliable American Shermans, which appear in pathetically small numbers and have no effect whatsoever on anything as impressive as the P-1000.
It's May 1944, and the Germans have attacked the doomed U.S. forces at Gettysburg too. The remaining American forces are laying down heavy fire, but all to no effect. Then, nobody could have predicted what happened next. The Rat fires and hits one of the last remaining M4s on the field, a loss the U.S. can ill afford as they have a deficit of 600 tanks already.
Of course, America falls apart. It doesn't really have the industrial base that's needed for a modern, contemporary war. It does not have the workforce, the skill sets. Turning up for a modern fight like Minutemen with a couple of muskets is just not going to cut the mustard in this type of advanced warfare.
Going for broke, the last M4 charges forwards in an attempt to pull off an encirclement worthy of telling his grandkids about. But then, things turn from bad to worse. The hopelessly outmatched Sherman is crushed under the tracks of the behemoth. With the U.S. Army decapitated, it's up to the Air Force to try and make the difference. Little do the crews of the B-17s know that the P-1000 Rat has its own secret weapon.
Despite the worry about the strength of American air power, the Ratter was perfectly able to look after itself. Goering had hoped to send some of the Luftwaffe to defend this invasion. In actual fact, the two FW-190s that Ratter carried itself, they were the only Air Force or German Air Force casualties at the time, because quite simply the pilots had forgotten how big this was. Flying fortresses sent by the Americans were easy targets for the 12-inch naval guns carried by the Ratter. And if they had managed to drop a bomb, then the verbal Rinn turrets were easily, again, with their 2-centimeter cannons, able to interdict anything that was coming towards this amazing super heavy tank.
As all 24 bombers of the 8th Air Force approach their target, they're decimated by the guns of the Rat. Air Ace Amelia Earhart is leading the squadron and drops her bombs, only to see them intercepted by 20mm defensive fire from the Rat's Whirlwind turrets. Her aircraft is then struck by a main cannon shell from the Rat, and she's never seen again. With the U.S. Army broken and their entire air force in tatters, the path is clear for the Germans to drive across the whole country and bring peace.
Hollywood has made us all believe in the story of the first atomic bomb actually taking out the White House. My own theory, I think it was actually the cannons on the Ratter. That's what did the damage to Washington that you can still see to this very day.
The Americans tried to sue for peace in July 1944, but unfortunately it was never an option. After losing their fifth fallback capital in Bend, Oregon, the Americans capitulate, ending the Second World War. Next up on the History Channel, the greatest air battles of World War II. It's June 1940, the Battle of Britain.
What the bloody hell was that? It came past like I was standing still. I can't keep up with him. The engine's overheating and so am I.
Hello everybody, we sincerely hope you enjoyed the video. We would like to thank the very good people over at Paradox Interactive for sponsoring this historically accurate documentary. If you like grand strategy and the Second World War, please go and support this channel by picking up Hearts of Iron 4 and their new DLC, Gute Dämmerung. Sure, I've pronounced that perfectly. It adds bucket loads of very interesting new things like wonder weapons. I'm talking Pykrete aircraft carriers, super heavy tanks, ICBMs. There's loads to get stuck into. So please go and use our link below and buy it as it helps us out a lot. Anyway, as always with these Hearts of Iron documentaries, big thanks go to David Willey. Yes, he's very fun, isn't he? And he's recently announced he's stepping back from the front line at the Tank Museum, so we thought we'd grab him at the pub and get him to say a load of random shit before he does. Yeah, just for old time's sake. Finally, thank you to our supporters on our website that make all of this possible, especially Bory44 and Andreas Toft. Thank you, chaps. Very kind. Anyway, cheerio.